Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas!
Hello.
Good morning, Super Mamas.
Good morning, Super Mamas. I always rip myself, like, I realize... I don't know what time people are listening.
Hello.
So hi.
Hello. What's up?
I'm a little bit out of it today. So forgive me.
Hey, you know, I'm kind of jealous that you are. I'm not.
I have like the shakes.
You have the shakes. I've seen you. You're a little bit. Is it a coffee? Is it cruda? What is it? It's a combination.
Maybe. Usually our Sundays are relaxing days, recoup days, where we, you know, get clean for the week and get be 100% on Monday. Yeah, it did not happen yesterday with my husband.
Wow, that's
fun. We've been having so much fun together.
That's so much fun.
I know. Him and I think we're just still in vacation mode.
Oh, I want to be in vacation mode.
Yeah. We were definitely having lots and lots of fun together.
Was your son there too?
Yes, he's so, yeah, so we've been just having so much fun. We've been swimming and just enjoying summer and hanging out.
Oh, you finally enjoy summer.
Yes, eating Doritos, playing a lot of Nintendo Switch, just being, you know, just having fun. We're having so much fun.
I started packing for the girls because they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I had so many, they don't even fit. The clothes don't even fit. So I cleaned the closets. I cleaned the drawers. I was doing a lot. I had a party on Saturday. And I wanted to share with you my super mom moment.
Tell me. I saw you went to a puppy party.
It was a puppy party, which is like super cool. First of all, that's something new. That's such a
LA American thing to do in Mexico. Can you imagine having a puppy party in Mexico? What?
But the kids loved it.
I know. I'm just saying
it was so cute.
Tell me about your moment.
So, okay, here's where I need help. What do you guys, so this is what happens when the girls have their birthday parties, they get so many gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So many different things. And I always decide not to open everything because they don't need it, right? And right. Sometimes what I do is like, I have a box with things that I'm like, we can re-gift this at some mm-hmm. point. Well, anyway, Krista had this little purse that she doesn't even use purses. That's too big for Sabina. So we were going to my goddaughter's birthday party, and I had already bought a gift, a bunch of things. And then I saw it the night before, and I was like, oh, what if we just give this to her? And I'm like, you know, we're not using it. It's new. It has a tag, everything. We put it in the bag, whatever. We go, the party's happening. Everything's great. Thank God most of the people were gone, and only my close friends were there.
Uh-huh.
So we decide to open the gift. And we open the gift, and as soon as the purse comes out, Chris is like, oh, we had that for a long time, and since we didn't use it, Mom decided to give it to you. And I was like, oh, like Mom started laughing so much that she had to get up of her chair and just started laughing. I turned red, purple. I was like,
she called you out.
She called me out in front of the birthday girl, my best friend. And now my best friend sent me a picture. She was like, I'm going to re-gift this back to you on one of your daughter's birthdays. And I was like, it's new. It has a tag. It still has a stuffy paper inside. Like, we didn't use it at all. Is that something that am I not supposed... I mean, you know, like, is that bad?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. I'm glad you're putting... It's not...
I mean, what would you say? What would you think? Like, even if it's like for a grown-up, like if somebody gave me something and like it's new, I'm not, I have three different persons.
I think it's fine. I think just not knowing, you know? it's the knowing that's kind
it's the knowing, right? And I was like, and then that's the other part. I was like, am I supposed to correct Krista? Am I supposed to tell
the
her?
Truth? Yeah.
Like, you know, don't say that. You know, she did tell the truth, but like, I was like, on my way home, I was like, Krista, I didn't appreciate that. And she was like, why? It's the truth. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. But like, you know, I don't know. I felt so...
Teaching your child how to lie.
I tried to teach my child not to lie, but cuando me conviene, I was like, oh my God.
That's, you know, so hilarious.
It is. And the other, she's in that truth stage.
As long as you don't re-gift something that someone gave you. Because imagine if she would have given you that gift and then you don't realize.
Of course.
And then you
re-gift. No,
but how do you? But how did you know, though? That's the only thing.
Because I know who gave us that.
Oh, okay. Dang. I hope she's not listening to the show right now. I gave her a little purse.
She probably doesn't even remember that she gave that little purse. That's what I'm. And that's the thing. I mean, the kids have so much already.
I think regifting is fine as long as we don't know I'm being regifted.
as your daughter doesn't tell. She's in that true stage. The other day she told me, I don't know, we were flexing. And she was like, yeah, mom, you can't do that because you're not as skinny like me. But, you know, you're working out. So you will be soon. And I was like, thanks, Krista. I told you she thought I was pregnant. She was like, mom, take care of our baby. And I was like, I'm not having a baby. So I've been working out. And she was like, I'm glad you flushed that baby down the toilet. And I was like, babe, don't say that because people are going to think I did something that I'm like, Krista, no. Like, I don't know what's up with her lately.
Well, my son told me that I smelled it this morning.
What is like, it with these children telling the truth?
He's like, mommy, you smell really bad. So bad. One night I don't take a shower before going to bed. See? That's why I take a shower every night.
God. I don't know. I mean, you know, we try to tell them to tell the truth. And then when the truth hurts, it's like, why are you telling the truth? It's mom life. You know what I mean? Anyway.
The truth hurts. Who do we have on their show today?
Today on the show, we have the amazing Sissany.
Oh, she's so incredible. Also, we have a new segment on the show. We're doing fire questions.
Fire round,
which are amazing and so fun. Amazing. They're actually really fun. So please stay until the end of the show. Listen to the entire interview. The answers will reveal a lot about a person.
I know. You guys know Sissany. She is a co-host with not other than Ryan Seacrest on 102.7 Kiss FM. And she's going to tell us about her journey. How did she got to work in the radio? How is it working with Ryan? Mm-hmm. All her projects, her struggles with her twins. She has twins. Mm-hmm. And
postpartum depression,
self-care, and all.
Twin life.
That hashtag twin life. So don't miss it. Take notes and enjoy the show.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey Super Mamas, Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mamas swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
Before we get to the interview, we decided to bump up our Supermama Pikachu for the week.
Yeah. Just, you know.
Just because you guys know how we are. What are you loving this week, Paulina?
Okay.
What's going to be
this
your pick or tip aside from re-gifting?
No, I feel so embarrassed. Re-gift. Okay, yeah, let's talk about one of the things that I do for birthday parties. Because the other thing that I do is when the kids, I have two girls, three girls, so many gift bags, so many tissue paper. I actually do recycle that as well. So I have a little storage bin in my closet in my office where I keep gift bags, tissue paper, plain cards, and I have my girls make their own birthday cards for their friends. Because, you know, you get all these birthday cards also, and what do you do with them? Like, I feel bad throwing them away, and I feel like when the girls make it themselves, it's more thoughtful. Like,
I make one step above that. You know what I do?
What?
All the artwork from school, I just fold it. and then just say happy birthday. And it's like, oh, he made this for you.
That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, because all that stuff too. And I feel bad throwing it away because have someone else throw it away for me.
And that you don't feel that guilty.
I don't feel guilty. It's like, here, I'm gifting you his artwork.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
I just fold it over and I just write happy birthday.
That's another one. My girls make their own birthday cards and I recycle the gift bags. Gift bags are expensive. Mm-hmm. They're like $7-$8. Tissue paper, I do all of that. That I'm not ashamed of that. And I just give it. Or you know what? Another cool thing, because we got a lot of the cloth bags. Mm-hmm. People actually also put the gifts inside of those, and the mom can use a bag.
And then you get rid of one bag and you keep the bag. You keep the bag.
That's my tip. Reuse. Why not? I mean, reuse, re-gift, recycle. Why not?
My pick this week is actually going to be a series. Mm-hmm. It's on Showtime. It's called Black Monday. Mm. Oh my God. It's so funny. It's so funny. It's kind of like the Wolf of Wall Street vibes, but just really, really funny. Oh my gosh. I downloaded it and binge watched it on the flight to Hawaii. And I was laughing so much. So that's my pick. Black Monday on Showtime.
I haven't heard of it. Oh, I bought my first stocks.
Oh, good for you.
Over the weekend. Yeah.
Hashtag adulting. All right, let's get back to the interview now with our incredible Sissany. Hello, Sissany.
Hi, ladies.
Welcome to Super Mamas. Let's start from the beginning. Okay. Where are you from? How many kids do you have? And who do you live with?
Okay, so I am from Orange County. More specifically, I'm from born and raised in Garden Grove, California. And I lived there, my whole life. My parents immigrated from Peru and Mexico. Uh-huh. So my dad's Peruvian, my mom is Mexican. They actually met at the immigration offices in downtown LA in like the 60s. Yeah. And so they moved to Orange County when my brother was like 6 months old and I was born like 6 years later. And then from there, I went to San Diego State. I was in Garden Grove, but I actually went to school in Los Alamitos. So when people ask me where I'm from, I'm always like Seal Beach, Los Al, Garden Grove. It's kind of like all over the place because that's just the cities that I kind of grew up around.
South.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went to San Diego State for college. That's how I got into radio when I was 19 years old. And then before I knew it, I was up in LA in 07, and I've been here ever since. I met my husband in 2009. He was still living in San Diego. It was a blind date. Mm-hmm. My sister set us up. She knew him
really?
Because he worked with her husband. And so she was like pregnant at the time, and she would go have lunch with her husband. And every now and then Michael would tag along. Mm-hmm. And so she started to get to know him and was like, oh my gosh, like you'd be perfect for my sister. And she was like, this is a really cool guy. He's Chileno, Argentino. And I'm like, forget it. I was like, I never dated Latin guys. I don't know what it was. I always just liked white boys. They reminded me of like my cousins or I don't know. I just, my brother.
I will say that all Latinas go through that.
Yeah.
We always, like, that's what happens when you live in LA. You have to go through your white boy phase.
Totally.
100%.
Yeah.
I never went through white boy phase.
It was like any other ethnicity, like Filipino, half black, like did not matter. Just as long as they weren't Latino. It was so weird.
Yes.
Which I'm so glad that it did not turn out that way for me because, I put it off for like a year. Plus, it was a long distance thing. He was in San Diego. I was in LA. I was like, I don't know. And then finally, we did meet, and we've been together ever since. And that was 10 years ago.
Wow.
So fast forward to now.
Was it a blind date?
It was a blind date. So it was actually supposed to be like a rebound. Like I had just broken up with this guy in here in LA, and I had texted him, I didn't even text him. Text would have been better. I had called him 20 times in a row, and he just was not responding. And I was like crying and I called my sister and she was like, get out of LA. Why don't you come to San Diego? I can set you up with that guy. And I was like, I don't know. Okay, fine. So I went down there and what's going to be like a double date, just her husband and then me and him, ended up being like a group date. She invited some of her girlfriends. She told me to invite a few friends. We told Michael to bring a wingman. And so it was like 10 people going to sushi. And
just so you two could meet.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody there knew that it was for us two to meet. Michael's holding the door open for everyone to get into the restaurant and everyone sits down. I end up at one end of the table and he ends up at the other. So it's like we didn't even like get to have a conversation aside from like having a conversation with the whole group.
Yeah.
Which actually was one of the things that really impressed me about him, because here's this guy who's 10 years younger than my sister and all her friends. And he was able to like carry a conversation and I don't know, just keep, you know, the conversation going. And I was like, all right, he's cool. And then we went to like a bar afterwards and that's when we really got to talk and finally exchange numbers and whatnot. But I know. So fast forward to now, we've been married for 5 years and we just had twins last May. So
twin life. Like, yeah, like a few months ago, right?
A year. So they're, four, they're 14 months.
Okay, got it, got it, got it.
Yeah.
How is that?
So neither of us are twin parents.
Right.
No. Moms, twin moms.
You got? Do you have one kid or two
kids? I have three kids.
Three kids.
I have three girls.
I mean, I could ask you the same question. Like, what's it like to have three kids? Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah, but like, you know, they're in different stages.
Yeah.
Krista, you know, you saw her here. She helps me a lot. I don't know what I would do with two babies.
You figure it out. It's just like that survival parent mom mode that gets triggered inside of you. You know, it's like there's no way that you're just going to say
you don't know any other way.
And you're not going to say no to the situation. It's like, what are you going to do? You're already pregnant with twins.
And then your schedule is, you know, you have to wake up really early. Mm-hmm.
But with the babies, they wake up so early, you guys.
It's, really?
Yeah, they wake up at like 5:30, 6. And so it works great with my schedule because I'm already getting up at that time. But before, I mean, I don't know. Like if I was doing like the midday show, I think it would be more rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's
it a boy, girl, boy, boy.
Yeah. A boy and a girl. Aww. Aza and Maxon. Aza was born at 3:37 p.m. and Maxon was born at 3:39 p.m.
That is so beautiful.
36 weeks.
Girl, I just remember when the first one came out, my first one, my only one came out. I just thought, Jesus Christ, if there was another one in there,
I know. Wait, was it natural?
Yeah, well, natural.
Well, you know, vaginal?
No, I thought you meant like the pregnancy.
Yeah.
The pregnancy, yes, was natural. No, like IVF or anything like that. It was just a gift from God. And then the birth was C-section.
Oh, okay,
because Aza was head down for like the last 3 or 4 months of the pregnancy. Almost like the whole pregnancy, she was head down. And she was in the center. And so anytime Maxon tried to like get head down, she would like kick him and then he'd come back around and try to go this way.
Like any other woman.
And then with twins, you have ultrasounds like for the last month and a half, maybe. Yeah. Like last month and a half or 2 months, they're every 2 weeks. And then as you get closer, there's twice a week. So I would have ultrasounds almost like every other day during the week. And you would see him on this side, on this side, on this side, on this, just in my ribs, basically.
Oh my God.
I know. And we were waiting for him to come head down. And my doctor, all doctors are different. Mm-hmm. We knew at the time that she's like, if they're not both head down, she's like, I only do C-sections. The other doctors will deliver the first one in hopes that the other one will eventually go head down. But that's, could be, any, you know, you never know what's going to happen with that. It's a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were okay with having a C-section. Looking back now, I'm like, I don't care. I just wanted them out of me at that point.
No, of course.
I couldn't even like walk. My pelvic area hurts so bad.
I can only imagine. No, I mean, yeah, with one, it's insane. You have to like go to sleep sitting down.
Yeah. And they were big. They were like 5 pounds, 11 ounces, and 6 pounds, Jesus 12 Christ. Ounces. Yeah, it was like 13, 14 pounds of just baby, plus the placenta, plus, you know, those liquid. Two placentas. Yeah.
Oh my God, poor you. Really. How's your back?
Yeah, you wore a back brace though, right? Towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. I did. And then, but it didn't even help at that point. I even got one that was like a back brace and it had suspenders.
Yeah,
so like it was just so ugly. But and it helped a little bit, but it was, to me, it was more uncomfortable almost sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then you just couldn't walk. Like I just couldn't walk towards the last like 2 weeks. I just would get up. I worked from home the last 2 weeks. I'd go to my home studio. I'd do the show from there. And then I would get back on the couch and that was it. And I would just like get up to pee. And it was almost like bed rest, but it wasn't even like doctor appointed. I just was myself appointed. I was like, I can't physically walk. It hurts.
I want to do that, Ricia. I want to work. I want to record from home.
You guys, it's so easy.
And get back on the couch.
Get back into bed.
Let's talk about your career. How did you get started working on radio?
So it's, I feel like I've always been I've always wanted to entertain somehow.
Yeah.
ever since I was a little girl, my dad and my mom put me in dance classes and kind of started there, I think, with like the performing on stage, things like that. And then in high school, they started a program when I was a junior, and it was Griffin News. And so it was basically a news station for the high school. We were the first year of like basically starting this station out. And I had a segment on there my senior year. It was called Sidewalk Talk with Sissany. And it was, I went around the school and I asked people, the kids, like different questions of the week. And it was so like almost what I'm doing now, essentially. And I went to college with a communications major thinking that I wanted to be a news anchor or I wanted to do news. Mm-hmm. One semester at San Diego State, probably a little bit of partying involved. I was scared. I essentially just like backed out and I was like, I can't do this. It's too serious for me. I won't be able to do politics. I just basically had like a panic moment. And I switched careers and I switched to art. My sister graduated with an art degree. She's an interior designer. So I just kind of like felt if she could guide me in that way a little bit. And I did enjoy art. I still do. So I did that. But by the end of my first year, going into my second year of college, I started working at a cinnamon roll shop. So I'm like 18, 19 years old, and I'm kind of lost. Like, I don't know really what I want to do with my career. Like, maybe
normal.
I'm a graphic design major at San Diego State, but I'm also just, I don't know what I want to do, kind of. But I did.
That's like always great quality to have, though.
Graphic design.
Which came in handy years later, too. So I was working at the cinnamon roll shop, like as a baker, essentially, making these cinnamon roll shops, making breakfast. And the owner of the shop did a show on Channel 933, which is the top 40 station in San Diego. I worked for him for like 6 months. He had to lay us off because he had closed down the shop. And that's when he told me, he was like, you should go and intern at the radio station. I feel like you'd be really good at it. And I was like, okay, maybe. It didn't pay. It was just school credit. Mm-hmm. So I went, and the minute I stepped foot in a radio station, like the studio, I was hooked. It was like this weird, like, oh my gosh, this is what I could do. This is like, I could totally make a career out of this. And it just all clicked within that first year of me really being in radio, being an intern. Because they said, you can come and you can learn the board. You can do whatever you want as long as you, you know, just kind of put in your promotion hours of the, you know, the office work. Mm-hmm. You can go on the streets. You can go and do this. You can help in the studio. You can answer phones. And that's what I did. And I just worked my way up ever since then. I started at 19 years old. By the time I was 20 or 21, I was on the air to country station.
Wow.
Because the top 40 station at the time, well, long story short, the boss there, she, for some reason, she didn't like women. I don't know what it was. I really don't. She ended up getting fired down the road. And then they brought in another PD, and he and the original guy that was there from the get-go, like the music director who always vouched for me, they eventually brought me onto the top 40. But I started in country music because top 40 people wouldn't hire me. And that was really tough. I'm on this station where I kind of like didn't know how to, it's not like I had to like change my voice to sound country or anything, but it was a challenge.
In San Diego?
In San Diego.
Yeah.
And then
tough market to do country.
Yeah, especially when there's another country radio station that had been there forever, like 50 years. Like, it's a staple. So we were this new country station that is no longer there. So it just goes to show that it didn't do well. But eventually I was doing both, and I was bored of being, I was the yes person. They asked me to do something. I said, sure, no problem. And I would do everything with a smile and just get it done.
Yeah.
And then I got the opportunity to move up here to LA, and I kind of commuted for the first 6 months from San Diego.
From San Diego?
It was only one shift. That's why it was doable. But I was still in school, and I was taking 21 units my senior plus year.
Girl, you were doing it.
I was just hustling. Like, I had no social life just because I was just trying to get through school and do, like, you know, basically move up in the radio world. And that was a really tough semester because it was my last year. And if I didn't pass these classes, then I was going to probably not get my diploma. And then I have to do summer school and whatever. So I was commuting Sundays, come up here, do a shift from 7 to midnight, turn around, go down, have class at 8 a.m. on Monday. Like, it was just really tough for those
Jesus.
But then, wow. Lo and behold, the girl that was doing middays at the time, she decided that she wanted to move to Miami. Spot opened up. They asked me if I wanted it. And I got full time at KISS a month after I graduated from college.
Wow. So, what a right time, right moment. And you were just prepared and ready for it.
I think a lot of stuff with career or job, you know, things like that, that happen that way is skill and a good majority is luck.
Like,
it is.
The right time.
It is.
Yeah, but you were prepared for it.
Yeah.
You know?
And even if you're not prepared, you just fake it till you make it.
Tell us about it.
You just say yes and you figure it out as you go.
And just like not be scared.
Yeah, exactly.
So you, I'm assuming you're, I mean, Kiss FM, you know, now you're, in a, you know, I'm, you've interviewed so many people. Mm-hmm. From the list and that you, from the countless list, from the huge list that you have, which guest would you say has left the biggest impact on you?
They're so different because, especially now that I do the morning show with mm-hmm. Ryan and Patty and Tanya and everybody, it's like we get so, it's not just music people, it's people that are in movies or things yeah. like that. I think now, especially as a mom, I relate to the moms the most. Yeah. Like any celebrity that's like a mom, like Gwen Stefani, we're going to go see her show next week and we're so excited. Oh. Jennifer Lopez.
I mean, yes.
How is that?
That she is a dream. Like she's this exactly how she is. Do you guys watch her YouTube channel?
Of course.
Oh my gosh.
100%.
I mean, she's just like that. There's no fakeness to her. Like if you interview her, she's exactly the same. She doesn't like turn anything on or off. Like the way she is just the way she is. And it was just pleasant, a pleasant person. And then especially when I found out that I was having twins, I was like, oh my gosh, she's like my superhero. Like, you know, I just look up to her on so many levels because she is, in my eyes, the true definition of a working mom that has figured it out and continues to reinvent herself over and over again. I mean, from her Fly Girl days to all her movies that she did, from like Selena
her
to
rom-coms,
like Made in Manhattan and like that whole era, you know, The Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
And now like she's 50 years old this week, I think. Is
her, right? Yeah, yes.
She's 50 years old.
It's My Party.
She's doing her It's My Party tour.
Yep.
And like looks better than anybody. She looks better than me. And I'm 35.
She looks better than any of us.
She looks better.
Let's just say.
Yeah, but it's like, I think she's probably someone that's definitely made like the most impact. Because I strive to be a fraction of what she is.
Yeah.
She is. I think we all do, right?
Hashtag for real. Yeah. I mean, J-Lo.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
I remember making line to meet J-Lo at the Virgin Records store on Sunset.
Yeah.
When I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember climbing a pole. And I remember reaching my hand. I touched her hand.
Yeah.
And her hand to this day has been the softest skin I've ever touched in my life. Could be softer than my son's
hand. Oh my god.
And I remember, and she smelled so beautifully.
I mean, everyone wants to know her secrets.
And I just felt, I was like, oh my god, how can someone that, so that's why I'm always constantly putting lotion on my hand just because I touched her.
Yeah.
And like when someone tells me, oh, your skin's soft, that's like my biggest compliment.
Yeah.
Like I get so happy when someone says like my skin's soft. I was like, oh my god, is it like J-Lo soft?
Totally.
Definitely not J-Lo soft, but you know.
It's just like I bought this cream once because she talked about how she used it on her face and I like found it at Whole Foods.
What is it? Tell us all
like
about it.
Does it work? It's Dr. Rose, I think. I don't know if I have it correct, but
no one knows what she really wears, I think.
I know, right?
You know, I hear that she bathes in milk.
Yeah, there's all these rumors. I finally did ask her the rumor once we interviewed her and I was like, okay, is it true that you sleep with some special pillow where like it makes it so you don't move your head at night? She was like, no.
Okay. You know. Is it true that you freeze yourself every night?
Are you going to like a freezing hole?
No, and she's normal because I interviewed her long time ago, 10 years ago once, first time I ever interviewed her. And I was so pissed because she didn't want cameras in there. So it was just audio. But anyways, so it was at this Best Buy event and we're doing the interview and she's eating potato chips, like out of like the full on big Lay's bag. And I was like, you are like the only person on this planet who could just eat potato chips and still look like
what?
That. She's like, actually, no.
So not fair.
But she's like, it's all portion control. She's I'm literally going to eat 5 chips and that's it. And I cut myself off. And she's like, it's all about just having
She works out self-control. So much.
Well, that is a whole other story.
Okay, let's just go. This is not a J-Lo tell us all. So you've co-hosted with Ryan.
Yes.
On Live with Ryan and Kelly.
Right.
Right? Kelly and Ryan, sorry. Ryan and Kelly.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you say his name. Yeah, I
know. Would you ever consider moving to TV? Is that something you want to do? You mentioned you loved entertainment.
I love any sort of entertainment. And I think with the TV stuff, I just kind of take it as it comes. It's so funny. When I interviewed for my job at Kiss, one of the first things they asked me was, do you want to do TV? And I think it's because so many people that they had in the past had left radio because they want to go do TV.
Yeah.
Or they were always trying to balance it. So I kind of never really strived for it, right? Especially in those early years. Now that I'm a little bit older and, you know, you kind of like figure out ways to incorporate it here and there, I do enjoy doing TV. I actually just got this side gig with NBC. It's called California Live. It's like a lifestyle show that's aired in Los Angeles, San Diego, and the Bay Area. So all stuff California related. Nice. And I'm just one of their extra correspondents, and they'll send me out a fun little things. Like I did this kitten lounge segment the other day. And so
like with cats?
With cats.
Yeah, it's so, like a coffee shop, yeah, right? With cats.
It's the people cat cafe that's in Melrose, that's on Melrose. Yeah,
people go and pet cats.
They took away the cats, and then right now it's all kittens. Because technically it's kitten season. So there's all these extra kittens in the shelters.
What does kitten season mean?
It means that
it's like hatch chili season.
It's like, yeah. So like a hatch chili season that every August all these kittens start popping up.
It's kind of like roasted. That. No, they don't eat them. Please don't. But basically it's because they're overcrowded in shelters and stuff like that. So this place is, has these kittens for you to go and pet and then adopt if you want to take one home or whatever.
We're not cat people.
That sounds like a horror movie.
Just based on the look on your guys' faces. You know, what's so funny is that I don't mind kittens. I mean, I love all animals, whatever, but there were some aggressive kittens in there. Like, so I literally, one of them was like climbing my face.
Cats are very, ¿cómo te diré? They're very,
they're lonely.
Surprising. I don't know. They're two-faced. They're like, look at you really quick. All of a sudden, like, they scratch the hell out of you. They scare me. Like, and their nails are so sharp and their teeth. No. Me da miedo. You know how they're so good at climbing? That's because of their nails. And they imagine they, no.
Yeah, I got cut. Like, I was like bleeding.
See? Why? No.
And it was all on live TV. So you're just like, you have to go with the flow. You know, it is what it is.
I can't even. I am so anti-cats.
Yeah.
I don't do harm to cats.
I don't either. I respect. And you know what? So like,
I know a lot of people who harm cats.
Yeah. When the cats see me, you know how when cats see you, they go away? And they don't. They stare at me.
Like, stop.
And I'm like, no, please get away. Like, that scares me.
They just side at me and I'm like, peace and love, my dear. If you one day take over the world, I hope you remember that I was not mean. Just don't want to be seeing you right now. Just look at my dog. My dogs are afraid of cats. It's horrible. So you have a podcast, mm-hmm. right? And your twins are the reason behind the show.
Yeah.
So tell us about the show. What are some topics you cover?
Who's your co-host?
It's just me, essentially. And then my producer, Erica, who she's a great co-host because she's 10 years younger than me. And so she brings this perspective of just like so many questions when I talk about anything mom related or like why this, especially because it started when I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it started when I was pregnant, week by week, just like basically, Mark, what's the word I'm trying to look for?
The beginning stages of your
like journaling the journey. Dumb way to say it, but so it kind of went there, and then I took a break when I had the babies, and then I came back, and then that era where it was probably like 3 months was really fun because then my husband was the co-host.
Oh,
and so I love it when he's on because it's therapy, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll just like straight fight on the podcast of like whatever. So if you like go back and you listen from the beginning, you'll see it kind of just, you see the whole transition of us becoming parents and how clueless we are, and especially with twins and things like that. And now it's just day to day. It's milestones. And you always know as your parents, like every day is a milestone. You see like change in your kids all the time. And mm-hmm. so
times two for you.
There's some funny stories. There's some sad stories. There's, you know, nights that I want to cry and all that just is documented now on a podcast that I'm hoping that they'll go back and listen to one day, probably.
Yeah, that's kind of how we feel about this show too. When we started, my son was 4 months old.
Okay.
And now he's 4 years.
Yeah.
So from the moment where I thought I was going to be the perfect mom and my kid sleeps by himself, mm-hmm. and like, oh my God,
I'm how never these gonna have parents, him use an iPad.
Like these parents, like how do you sleep with your kids, Paulina? Super judging my sister for every decision. Cut to 4 years later. So it's so beautiful to see and to grow with your listeners too.
Yeah,
you know, and for absolutely. Them to, and for them now to hear back, and new listeners that you get every single day, that they will listen to the old episodes and listen to the new ones, you know, binging, mm-hmm. and realizing, wow, you guys change fast.
Really do. Yeah. And some of them start like, a lot of the new listeners that we get are usually moms that are pregnant with twins. And so by now, like they probably already had their babies, yeah. you know? And so they just, I hope that it's something that helps moms, and not just if you're a twin parent. It's just called Twinning with Sis Ninjas because that's my story. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm just raising two kids at once. Like, and I'm trying the best I can. You know, it's like, I don't
know
what
I'm doing.
Girl, give
yourself a little credit. We can barely do it with one.
You're like, I can barely do it with one.
I'm just raising twins. Yeah. No big deal.
Let's talk about the birth story of the twins.
Okay.
Yeah. How did it come about? I mean, we know how it happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we can skip that part. I was like, well, there was this one week in August. Touch base about me getting pregnant. Like, I'm very open with my journey, and I had a miscarriage the first time we got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it was really devastating because we got off birth control and I got pregnant that next month. Like, it was so fast and we couldn't believe it. We were so happy. And then before we knew it, we weren't pregnant anymore. And mm-hmm. so I just didn't even get in my head that that could happen. Right. I just didn't, you know, you have friends, family, everyone's always around you, just gets pregnant and everything is fine. And so we kind of struggled.
Or so you think.
Or maybe, and that's why I wanted to talk about it on the air when I did. And I did months later. It wasn't like I talked about it the next day. Like, it took me a really long time to kind of be comfortable with it even and research and find out really what happened, which you can never tell.
Yeah.
But from that moment, it took us like maybe 6 or 7 months. We were trying every month, and I was using an app on my phone to try to tell me when I was ovulating, but that's crap. Like, that yeah. just didn't work. I was a week off, like, basically every time we were trying. It wasn't until I did the Clear Blue ovulation sticks. Mm-hmm. Oh. And that one, I did it like religiously that 1 month. And I checked it and it told me exactly when I was ovulating. And I did it every day for a week. Hence the twins. And I'm convinced to this day okay. that they were conceived on two different days.
Okay.
Because
I'm going to do that.
There you go. Because I know my fertility and I know my hormone levels, and I know that my hormones that I have in my body, I'm more prone to release multiple eggs per cycle, hence why I have fraternal twins. So I released two eggs during that cycle, and one was conceived like August 31st, and the other one was like maybe September 1st or something like that.
What?
Which is totally possible. I know.
Wait, do you have to take a test for this?
No, for that, it's just my gut.
No, I mean,
I diagnosed myself only because, you know how you do like those dumb tests with like the like your hair and like to try to see if you're having a boy or a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine kept saying, like, I kept getting a boy and a girl. And so one was like, if it was a girl, it was August, and if it was a boy, it was September. I was like, whatever. And then the Chinese, I was doing all those calendars. And
you're so Latina.
I was looking at my cup of water and I drank my coffee, and at the bottom, I knew it was 2 days.
Yeah.
My grandma told me in a dream.
You know, like, my mom always would tell me that story. It's like, yo sabía ese momento apenas que lo hicimos. I was like, I was pregnant. And I was like, you didn't even take a test? Whatever.
My grandma came and told me in a dream.
Yeah. So fast forward to the birth. It was a really easy pregnancy, thank God. Like, no real complications or anything like that, except for a lot of pain. And they came 4 weeks early at 36 wow. weeks, exactly to the day. And it was a C-section, so I was a little nervous because it is like nerve-wracking.
Major surgery, too.
Full-on, like, OR. You don't really, like, think about the surgery part because you're just all about the babies so much. And then all of a sudden, you're like, holy crap, my stomach's getting cut open. And I didn't know this, and it might be too graphic, but no. Apparently, like, they pull mm-hmm. everything yeah. out of you. Like, yeah. I didn't – you would think that, like, a smart woman would no. research what a C-section is, like, before you, when it's you're about
better.
To get one.
It's better if you don't, girl.
I did it at all. And that's, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so dumb. Like, I was all about the babies. I wasn't even thinking that they
you're
were
like, they carve a hole, and then they suck them from the hole,
yeah,
right?
And at one point, like, Michael looked at it, and he's like, it was the craziest thing ever because – Aza came out, and so they called him over to two little bed areas. It was baby A, baby B. So they had her over there, and they're like, Dad, do you want to come over here and cut? And he had already cut the cord, but he's like, do you want to come and weigh her and take pictures and all this? So he goes over there, and then they go, okay, Dad, the second one's coming, come back. And so he turns around, and as he turns around, that's like he saw everything, like all my guts on the table. And like, he's like, and then he came back behind the curtain, and that's why they have a curtain for C-section.
And he was shaking.
He was like, yeah. He's pretty good. I don't know. He's not that, like, I think he likes all that stuff. Like, I really think he could be a doctor if he really wanted to be. But so, yeah, I mean, then all of a sudden we take like little, you know, the first initial pictures, they're all wrapped up in their little beanies and everything. I'm so out of it because I'm drugged up, but I remember everything. Mm. And then they start wheeling us away. And they gave me Aza and they're like, okay, ma'am, we're going to have to take your son to NICU. He has fluid in his lungs. And it was just like all happening so fast. And they prepare you for this, especially with twins, that you could probably go to NICU. I never thought that I was going to have one go to NICU and one not go to NICU. And wow. So they were separated. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so we had to spend those first 2 days kind of going up and down. And I was so, oh, I had
so a hurt.
It sucks so bad because so bad. I only saw him right after I had him.
Yeah.
And he was already with the tubes and everything in like the little incubator thing. And then I went down and I was strapped to my bed because for that first 24 hours, I have like a catheter in me and like I can't get out of bed essentially. So it wasn't until the next day I was able to walk and go see him again. But I didn't get to hold him in my arms until 2 days after he was born.
Yeah. Same thing. Krista was in the NICU for 4 days. And it sucks because you were in, your body's in so much pain. I mean, you had a C-section. I can only imagine then having to go up and down to see them and the other. It's
gnarly, man. Yeah. It's, you really can't. And it's not so much, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's all of that. And then you feel for all the other babies that are like way worse conditions.
Yeah.
I think that 100%. Was what even like hurt me more. Cause I look at Max and he was like this big chunky baby almost compared to these other ones that were born like 2 pounds.
Yeah.
So, the whole NICU world of like those parents is like a whole other world.
It's super scary.
Those are super mamas.
100%. God bless those doctors too.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break. I'm going to come back with some fire questions that we have ready for you. Super mama fire questions.
All right. Love it.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in el Face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Calling to our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Okay, now back to the show. Now, before we get to the fire questions, I want to ask, how do you practice self-care? Just because you have twins, you have a multifaceted career and a husband. That's another child. So how do you practice self-care?
You know, if I'm being completely honest, it's something that I need to work on because I don't think I practice it enough. And then I'll have moments where I break down. Mm-hmm. And then my husband is there to like support me when like those things happen. But just a month ago, maybe, I had a full-on panic attack. Like, I haven't had a panic attack like that since, I don't even know, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. I don't even know why that one happened. I don't know why they happened, but, and I think it was just a bunch of things, it's the way that, like, I'm balancing my life and this and that, but just this last 8 months, because that's how long it's been since I've gotten back from maternity leave, having the babies, I got postpartum. I actually got Bell's palsy, which is a form of Bell's palsy. It's where you lose mobility in like half of your face. It happened like 10 days post birth and, I didn't know what it was. And even my doctor didn't know what it was. So I had to go to a neurologist. 2 weeks after I had these babies, I'm going in for a brain MRI to see that if it's
with
a tumor.
Your C-section scar.
Yeah. I mean, just to rule out a tumor or anything worse, which thank God it wasn't. It ended up being connected with the swelling and the way, because I was so swollen in my body that it cut off some veins or stuff in like from my brain to my face where that's
from
why
the pregnancy or from the birth?
From the probably a little everything. Of both, just everything. Yeah. And then stress on top of it. And then once I researched that more, found out like a lot of people have gone through something like this.
Girl, yes.
So I think that's what
burns a Palo Santo in
and
here.
That's what triggered the postpartum. Not like what really just like, kicked it off, I guess. And then getting back to work was a big adjustment. And I really haven't been able to, really feel like myself. And you guys get it. I don't know. For me, it wasn't like a fairy tale. Like I bounced back and it was like, I'm all good. And
there
I
is no such thing as bouncing back.
Yeah. You see celebrities.
We continue saying we don't bounce back. We evolve.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, there's that pressure. Like you were saying, totally. Celebs, social media.
Oh,
media.
And like Khloe Kardashian had her baby the same time as me. And I'm looking, look at her. And I'm like, I get it. I'm not Khloe Kardashian. So,
no, girl.
But you can't help to like compare yourself. Sure.
How does Khloe look smaller than before?
It's because they have nutritionists and she has a full on gym in her house and like all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's
so
like,
many things. But anyway, yeah.
Right.
I thought the same thing. I was like, Khloe, you're so, what?
Yeah. But it wasn't until I started WW, which is like essentially Weight Watchers. And I started losing some more weight and I'm down 14 pounds since the beginning of the year, which it's like, it doesn't seem like a lot because we're in July.
It's a lot.
But it's like staying off. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's a lifestyle change with WW. And so now that that's kind of happening, I'm feeling a little bit more for myself. And I try to nap when they nap. That's like another secret. The kids are still napping, so anytime they kind of take a nap in the afternoon, I try to take a nap.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
We preach self-care all the time.
You know
because
what? We're gonna do a blimpia before you eat. We're going to do some palo santo around. Yes. We're going to spit mezcal in your back.
And believe it or not, this is self-care. Getting away from the kids and coming and doing this
sometimes
is
work.
Nice.
It's a little bit like therapy. Like,
Yeah.
Nobody's calling out. Nobody's pulling me everywhere.
Exactly.
It's just like I'm here sitting down talking on a microphone.
Yeah.
You know? This is fun.
Exactly.
But I'm like, oh, I have to go home and like I have to cook and the kids and then no, let me just stay here.
Yeah,
I know.
Fire questions, you ready?
I'm ready.
Wait for the rolling to come
to complete stuff.
All right. Ariel or Jasmine?
Oh. I'm in a wreck. This is not gonna be fire questions. Ariel. Only because I just watched Little Mermaid like a week ago.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
Texting or a phone call?
Texting.
Dinner and a movie or Netflix and chill?
Dinner and a movie. Anytime I can get out of the house, please.
I know. Online shopping on in-person shopping?
Online shopping for sure.
Early riser or night owl?
I'm both.
Anytime the kids need me.
Yeah, but then sometimes, I mean, put them to bed and now they're getting to bed later because the sun doesn't go down. Mm-hmm. And so it's like 8 o'clock and then I have to be asleep usually by 10. So I try to like squeeze in as much as I can at night.
Okay, the next ones, you cannot say both, okay?
Okay.
Beyonce or Selena?
Oh, Selena.
Okay.
Tampons or pads?
Tampons.
Hey,
only the pads.
I'm pads.
We're pads.
I know. I know other girls that are pads too. It's fine. Only because the pads when I was having the babies, those I needed after that.
Coffee or tequila?
Tequila.
Taco Tuesday or happy hour margaritas?
Isn't that the same thing?
No.
Taco Tuesday.
Sex or a massage?
Ooh, massage.
Hashtag truth. Thank you so much for being with us. Can't wait to have you back. Where can mom stalk you, listen to you, follow you, be you, listen to you? Where?
Go help you with the kids.
Well, obviously, you can listen every day on 102.7 Kiss FM with Ryan Seacrest. We're on from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. every morning. And then I have my podcast, Twinning with Sisney, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Instagram?
Instagram, I'm just at Sisney, and that's S-I-S-A-N-I-E.
Aw, I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was fun.
See you next week. Super Mamas.